Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave slow and steady as she goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody. I'm Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm the founder of the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program, creator of Dream Business Academy, founder of No Hassle Newsletters, and host of Dream Business Radio, this very podcast now in its ninth year. I think we're about, four episodes away from 500, which is pretty cool. Anyway, welcome to another fantastic live edition of Dream Business Radio. I have a special guest, franchise expert Kate Ross, and I want you to know this episode of Dream Business Radio is brought to you by the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. If you're an entrepreneur or a small business owner who has tried and actually is just very tired of slow to no growth, there is another way. If you're feeling overwhelmed, unfocused, and especially if you want to learn how to create multiple streams of revenue in your business, something I'm very good at, you want to be part of this mastermind, go to Dream Biz Coaching, dreambizcoaching.com. But that's it. Let's get right to my special guest. We're going to be talking about franchising today. Kate Ross is president of Aspen Franchise Consulting. She's the founder of the company, and she created this company to support clients along the path of becoming a franchise business owner, which is kind of the other side. Well, you can be an independent business owner, and you can also be an independent business owner, but you're part of a franchise, which something of which I know a little bit about, which I'll share with you. Kate has 20 years plus experience owning and operating different businesses. She understands the complexities of starting and running a business, and she's an expert at helping her clients navigate the often confusing process of selecting the right franchise that matches the business of their dreams. All phases of business ownership are distinct and different for many entrepreneurs, and owning a franchise could be a smart way to go for some people. There are countless choices available in the franchise world, and Kate and her team help you find the best franchise opportunity. Again, that's going to fit your goals. She is able to transform businesses with clear strategic vision, stakeholder alignment, and operational excellence, which is something she's really, really good at from her previous business experience. Kate subscribes to the notion that we are all connected. Great communication leads to great partnerships and even better results. And she has a deep passion for partnerships, leadership, communication, and growth. And by the way, Kate also loves dogs and cats. I know it's going to make Adam very happy. And she loves drinking espresso and playing double tennis. I think that's enough of that. Kate, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great to see you again. Kate and I had in full disclosure, Kate is a coaching client of mine. She's a member of the Dream Business Mastermind. So we were actually talking earlier today. So this is a double treat for me. But Kate, I wanted you to come on because people that know my own backstory know that I spent probably 6 or 8 years helping to develop a franchise. It was in the bicycle and fitness equipment space. And we grew from 14 stores to 80 stores in 18 states. So I'm very familiar with the role of franchisor and franchisee. And that's why I was so excited to work with you, because this is what you do. You created this business to help people get into it. So maybe if I could just ask you before we dive into the franchise part of it, I know you've owned several different businesses and you don't have to talk about them specifically, but how long have you been a business owner and how'd you get into franchising?
Yeah, business owner for 20 years, starting businesses from scratch. Initially bootstrapping. It was interesting.
No stress, right?
Creative, became a success, you know, and then just kind of sold one, built another, and just kind of grew in different ways. I was able to work at home, which was one of my major goals in 2006 after 6 years of being in the office. I was able to work remote, which was my goal, and to make good money, which I was able to do. So,
So I'm just curious. So you built a business from scratch, sold it. You did it again, I think a third time. So each time you did that, did you say, I'm going to go retire, and then you got bored and started another company, or was each one like a stepping stone, so to speak?
Yeah, they each incorporated things that were important to me, incorporated kind of a different lifestyle, having freedom of time, I got to just focus on what I love doing in the business and delegate other parts of the business, which I loved. So just working on having a nice, getting to do what I wanted to do in the business. And
those businesses, you had developed some pretty big teams, if I'm not mistaken, right? You had a lot of people, mm-hmm. which I know one of the things you're passionate about amongst all the different franchise opportunities, but I know you like staffing franchises. Is that where some of that background came from, do you think?
Yes. I had to keep 200 positions staffed on my own for a while. So wow. I love getting people the job of their dreams. So yeah, that was one of my passions.
So when I was in the franchise business, and I'm thinking it was like the mid 90s, there was an expression, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Is that something you still hear today? Or is that like an old timer saying?
In franchising, most definitely. Yep.
Okay.
Still there.
That's interesting. Because some people want to be in business for themselves, but I guess this was my backhanded way of getting to the first question, why somebody would want to be a franchise owner versus just going solo. How would you answer that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different reasons, but I think the big reason is the support. You know, you're not by yourself, like you said. Mm-hmm. Another reason is all the technology. The franchises have everything so tuned in right now. I mean, you can turn the button on, your website's ready, your lead flow's ready, everything is just really streamlined with all the tech. And then the support of a team. They also help with the hiring and the staffing, which right now is even more important with everything that's going on, with strategy, okay. How to keep your business staffed. And I always make sure we question the franchises about that.
Yeah. I remember in the franchise business, it didn't matter what you sold, product or service. It was very much a relationship business. And so the way I used to look at it is if the franchisees needed help and it wasn't something you're contractually obligated to perform, but if you help them, that just makes your franchise more successful. So the staffing piece, I'm guessing, especially in the last few years, has probably become quite a distinct need.
Yeah, the franchises have adapted and put into place, you know, strategies, which are a real selling point for a franchise on how we're going to keep it staffed. So, and it does, you know, what they focus on goes with the times, you know. So with COVID, they really did get a lot of really neat systems in place, and also being able to work remote. There's so many different opportunities in franchising.
Yeah. So I know this is kind of a broad-based question. It's probably 20 different ways you can answer this, but do you need specific experience in whatever niche you're looking at, or do most franchises offer really comprehensive training? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think each franchise is a little different. Most of them are looking for a skill set, a certain type of skill set. Some of them want somebody who's very operational. Some of them want somebody with advertising, sales. It just really depends. Some of them want people that want to be operator owner. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the board. I just more look at their skill sets and then match that to what that franchise wants as an owner.
Yeah. Well, in my previous life, when I was a regional manager, I had about, 60 or 80 people working for me. I would always rather hire for attitude than skill. I figured I could teach the skill. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think times have changed that much. Mm-hmm. So another kind of a broad based question, but what are the startup costs? If somebody's interested in becoming a franchise owner, maybe we should do this in a couple different ways. What are the various franchise costs, like kind of the initial fee and ongoing, et cetera? And then maybe we can talk generally what the parameters might be.
Yeah. So as a franchise match consultant, what we usually focus on is the liquid capital.
Okay.
When we do a search, which is the amount of liquid cash available that the franchise sets. So typically a number is 25, 50 grand mm-hmm. For the number amount you have available to help you get through the startup. And then the investment range is all mm-hmm. over the place for different franchises. But, you know, you're looking at higher end would be food or retail versus an at home, which is a lower investment.
So we were obviously, I mean, I think we were like 150 grand because we had inventory. We had bicycles, fitness equipment, clothing, repairs, equipment, all that stuff. I wonder what percentage of franchise franchise opportunities today are at home based and not necessarily retail based, or restaurants got to be, I would think, $500,000 minimum, I'm guessing, or yeah, more.
It is. Yeah.
What does that look like as far as, you know, from your experience, the at home franchise? And I mentioned that you really have a passion for staffing franchises. What's the investment for something like that?
It's variable. You know, they do have at home staffing franchises, which, you know, are a lower investment, maybe $80,000. You can get up and going, start placements day one, start cash flowing, which is amazing. And then you have, you know, brick and mortar office locations, which, you know, 100, 200, something like okay. that. Going. Yeah.
So is 200 the high side? Well, probably not in the staffing franchise, but obviously food. Do people still come? Are they coming to you for food, or is it more the at home or the smaller ones? What have you seen like in the last year or so?
Yeah, people are still interested in food. So usually I you know, we focus on really simple models for food right now with grab and go, things that are easier to staff, that are maybe cleaner, healthier options, and okay. Investment is lower. So those are the franchises that I usually focus on with my clients.
Okay. How does somebody go about suppose you have somebody that comes to you and says, boy, I'd really like to be in a franchise, because I guess the first box they're going to tick is that I want to be in business, but I'd love for somebody to help me, train me, give me signage, all that good stuff. How does somebody that's got a broad approach to finding something, how do they go about choosing what's best for them? I'm sure you have some kind of system or process you walk people through, but can you describe that a little bit?
Sure. So usually they come to me and they have been poking around. They've looked at this franchise, that franchise, explored a little bit, changed gears, and then they get a little confused. Mm-hmm. So what we do is I ask them some really specific questions, figure out if it's something I can help them with. Their timeline is important. You know, within the first, if they're going to looking for 12 months, we're probably going to get started on it. I do a questionnaire, which is not an application, and we explore all the different parts of the business, and most of them haven't thought about all the parts. For example, employees, how many, what kind of hours do you want to work? I also work, if they have any interests, I work that into, you know, our potential franchise options. I had a lady yesterday, loves pets. I mean, she got so excited on the phone. I said, have you ever thought about having a franchise where you work, you know, take care of pets or, you know, make your income off of pets? She said, no, I've never thought of it. So it was pretty exciting.
So if I can pause you. So yeah. I want to go a little bit deeper, because even people that aren't interested in franchising, this is like customer intake stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you find out? Just a simple conversation. I mean, what did she come to you for? Just curiosity. And then you said, hey, have you ever thought of this? How did you find out that she had an interest in pets?
Yeah, on my questionnaire, there's a scale, and it has, maybe 20 items. You rate 1 to 10. And, you know, there's a lot of, when they fill it out, I'm always curious about, you know, what they put a 10 on and why. Mm-hmm. And then it makes me excited to find some, she's a professor. And she wants freedom of time and not have to be on the clock. So
these aren't just rank top 10 about business or franchise. They're like general, like cooking, cupcakes, pets. I mean, is it a whole broad thing?
Yeah. It's about 25 items, and then you rate it. And then most of the items do relate to a specific type of franchise that I could match them to. So they're placed there for a reason.
I think you told me a month or so ago you had somebody that was interested in either, I don't know if it was cars or restaurants, but he scored a 10 in like the technical field. And I think you also said, hey, have you ever thought of this? There's some technical franchises, and I don't know where that went, but that's kind of like a light bulb moment for some people when you're taking them through your process, I would think.
Yeah, it was. He owns a donut shop, and he created a computer IT on 10. And he actually had a degree from college.
Wow.
So, and he hadn't gotten a job when he got out and just went right into owning the donut store. And he hadn't thought of potentially that being an option moving forward, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really impressed with that, because sometimes somebody will come to you and say, hey, I'd like to have a muffler shop or a donut shop. And maybe they do well, but maybe there's something else that they'd be really good at based on likes, previous experience, or a skill set that they think is maybe not even important. That's pretty, I think that's pretty astute. Do most franchises offer financing either themselves, or do they hook you up with some financing, or does everybody just get it on their own?
Yeah, sometimes they have internal financing. Most of the time, I recommend you work with a franchise funding specialist, somebody okay. who is familiar with the franchise you're trying to buy and understands how the process works. So typically you work with an outside party to fund the franchise.
Okay. Are regular banks, are they just getting too hard to deal with? So are these like, what kind of banks are you talking about? Are they banks or are they finance companies or?
Yeah, it's a funding company that you can either do SBA, they coordinate that, the SBA, or a 401k. And a lot of people are doing HELOCs right now. So
okay.
lines is what I've been hearing the last month or so.
Is there, so speaking of home equity, is there a certain, or is there an average age that if someone comes to you, let's just again, think of over the last year in your business, is there like a typical age when someone thinks, I'm sure I probably could be wrong, but is there an 18-year-old coming to you, or are they all like in their 40s, or are they like 60s, or?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think recently a lot more 55, 60-year-olds have been reaching out. They're ready to exit the workforce, and, mm-hmm. They have 4 to 5 years that they want to be working, and then they want to, sell the franchise. So we've been focusing on how would they exit, and does the franchise offer any part to assist with that process? So that's been really interesting.
Do most people, or do some people finance it on their own? So if the average person is 55 or 60 and they're exiting the workforce, they probably have some liquid capital, I would assume, at that point in their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely typically not doing financing at that point. They're using, funds they have. Yep.
One of the things I remember from years ago was, a franchisor has to have certain rules. There's a guidebook, rule book. There's things that you contractually have to, like, you can't change the color of your sign because that's a national trademark, right? And there's certain things, the way you operate your business. Do you, I'm curious if you ever hear stories after the fact, because you're kind of like, you're from interest to finding the right match and getting them signed up with a franchise, and you pretty much leave it. Then it's the franchisee, franchisor. I'm just curious from your own experience, either in business or do you hear afterwards how some people are not toeing the line, or is that much of a problem anymore?
I think we kind of cross that bridge up front. Mm-hmm. I know I keep it in mind when I'm talking to people, do they want a franchise that's very strict with a lot of check sheets, a lot of rules in that rule book, or do they want a new emerging brand that's a little more flexible, doesn't have things figured out? And then I know when they go through the discovery process, the franchises really hash out, is this going to be a good fit? And is this franchisee going to be happy, following those rules, or is it going to
right.
be a problem? So I think they do a really good job ahead of time figuring that out, not to say, it might happen down the line, but not yeah. anything that I've heard recently.
So I do believe most franchisors that are honorable and have really good intentions are going to help you be successful. I'm sure there's some outliers, but in general, not even saying good, bad, or otherwise, what are some of the risks associated with buying a franchise? What should people, have eyes wide open about?
I can say, in my opinion, a newer emerging brand, mm-hmm. especially if somebody's never owned a business, that potentially they're not going to have the support that they need to be successful. Also, getting out there and networking, if it's required for the franchise to be successful, that's really important that the person enjoys networking, getting out in the community, doing the marketing advertising part. So I think that part matching up is really important. If you don't want to do those things, then we need to find a franchise that does those activities for you.
Yeah.
To avoid that risk of not having the business that you need.
I remember meeting, and again, I'm going back, I don't even know how far that is, but probably 20 years, no, more than 20 years. And because I've been in business 20 years, so it's going back, I don't know, 30, let's say 30. And what I figured out was that somebody who's not going to follow the rules probably is not going to succeed in the franchise and also wouldn't succeed on their own because they're just, you know, kind of a, you know, Tasmanian devil type thing. They're just whirling all over the place. And I think it's good to find that out beforehand rather than, because, you know, what's interesting is the in the franchise world, you have something called a UFOC, Uniform Franchise Offering Circular. Is that right, Kate?
Sounds right to me.
Still the same thing, yeah. So, but it not only lays out everything about the franchise, it's very transparent. There's no like hiding anything. Here's how many stores open. Here's how many stores close. So you get to see the ones that don't succeed. That's part of the franchisor's record. So you've been in business for yourself many times, and now you help people get into the franchise business. What are some of the risks, and how would they be different? I mean, do you spend enough money marketing? Are you good selling and things like that? But are the risks similar no matter if you get into franchising or you know, going solo?
Well, I can say from my experience, I think going solo is a lot more risky just because you don't have the support to ask the questions, to figure it out quickly. Having the ability to make a phone call and get the answer with the experience to back it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you could put a price on that, but specifically when it's so specific and niche to exactly what you're trying to achieve in your business. When you have a franchise,
right,
on your own, you're kind of asking people for advice who may not know exactly what you're trying to achieve, which can be tricky, I think.
Yeah. What kind of training programs do most franchise? We used to have a 2-week training program. They'd actually come in, spend like 2 days at corporate learning kind of the back office stuff, and then they'd actually go work a store for a week and a half and really get immersed. What kind of training programs have you found today?
Yeah, that's pretty typical, you know, definitely going and spending some time, a week or two. And then what a lot of franchises are doing now is, you know, you get a business coach or a franchise coach to be by you for, you know, 6 months potentially. And then a new concept that I heard was franchisees are kind of mentoring each other. So you get assigned a franchisee to walk with you through the first 6 months along with a coach. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. So what would the process look like? Suppose somebody said, hey, that's very interesting show, Jim. Thanks for having Kate on. And they want to reach out and have an interest in a franchise. What does that look like? I mean, I'm sure it's not a 30-day thing. Doesn't have to be a year or 2 years. What's the average? Describe, if you would, like the timeline from when someone says, hey, I'm interested. Walk us through that.
With me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it'd be introduction call. So first I want to figure out what you're trying to achieve. Is it something I can help with? Or maybe it isn't. So we figure that out pretty quick. That's, you know, can be within a couple days. Then we get the questionnaire done. Within a day or two, we review the questionnaire together. We do the brand, review the franchise brands in about a week. You find a franchise you love. We go right to a developer and we start asking our questions, getting more information. So I would say within 2 weeks, you could be talking to a franchise developer for a brand.
Oh, wow.
Potentially.
And so if somebody reaches out to you, there's going to be a questionnaire. And part of that's what we described earlier. What are some of your likes? It's like, and you, so that might help you actually broaden their horizons about what they might be looking for. Right. And so the next thing is what you call a brand review. And that's where you just tell them about the franchises or introduce them, or what does that look like?
Yeah. So after I review the questionnaire, we do the call. I have insight into, over 300 franchises. So I kind of know the look and feel of the franchise, and I'm able to match up exactly what you're looking for to the franchise, along with thinking about, you know, the developer, their attitude, the way they talk, the way they communicate. Mm-hmm. So I really try to match up a good relationship along with whatever that franchise does. So it's a little more complex than just matching up ideas. It's more a relationship, you know, is this guy going to be able to work with this guy? And I kind of take that into account when
so you're not spinning that big wheel or throwing a dart and seeing which franchise you're going to show them.
No.
So I'm curious, when you introduce them to the developer, I mean, that's got to be a big step in the life of the potential franchisee. That's like getting some background, getting some help from yourself. and your team, and then all of a sudden they're talking with the franchisor. That I wonder if that's a nerve-wracking experience, or are most people like, no, I'm ready. Get me in contact.
Yeah, they seem to be one way or the other, really ready to go or really nervous about it. But I encourage everyone to have a call with a developer. I mean, if you're seriously thinking about franchising, we need to get on the phone and get the feel of what working with a franchise developer is going to be like. And I think most people figure it out pretty quick. You know, oh, I like this process. I like the structure. I like this conversation. Or, you know, they figure out pretty quick, not for me. So it's really pivotal having that first developer call.
And so I hope you don't mind me asking this. What does it cost for somebody to work with an expert like you? Is there an upfront fee, or is it more like a selling a house? Is there a commission from the franchisor? Somehow you must get compensated. How does that work?
Yeah, so I walk my clients through the process step by step, provide resources. I also work with the developer. So I'm connecting both parties, coordinating both parties. I'm kind of in the middle, you know, working it out between everybody. And once they decide that it's a good match, you know, the franchisee decides, yeah, this is it. The franchisor says, yes, I want. Once they decide it's a good match, then the franchisor takes care of any charges from me. They set the fee they're going to pay me. And every franchise is a little different on how they take care of their.
Okay. So there's zero cost to somebody reaching out to you and getting help at getting into the franchise world.
Correct.
That's pretty cool. I mean, and that's just like working with a residential real estate, I guess. Somebody's going to walk you around, show you different houses. You find one you like. The real estate person earns a commission from the sale of the house.
Yeah, it's kind of, would you buy a house without a real estate agent? I mean, me, my answer would be no, I'd always use a real estate agent. I suppose some people wouldn't, but if I had somebody to help me buy a business, I would definitely take advantage of it.
Yeah. And one of the things I like about, and one of the reasons I wanted to work with you, is there's people who can do what you do because they're well-connected, they understand everything, but you've actually started and grown three successful businesses that I'm aware of. Is it three or was, yeah.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. All right. Not counting baseball cards when you're a teenager, but yeah. So let me see. I'm quickly running out of time. I'm going to ask you another question though. So initially, when they reach out to someone like yourself and you go through the review, the brand review, the questionnaire, you're helping them find out what would be a good fit, even if they think they might know. So that could be 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. Then if everything looks good, you connect them with the individual developer or developers. And then is it like 3 months, 6 months, or does it depend if it's brick and mortar or at home? Like, what's that time frame look like?
Yeah, it's all over the board. I think an average would be about 3 months to the end, you know, to the end date. If it's a really simple consulting model, something at home, maybe 6 to 8 weeks. Like a restaurant, it's going to be a while. Yeah.
Wow. So last question, Kate, is I know you have a passion for staffing franchises because of your whole background. And I must say the reason I think it's probably a really cool thing these days is it's not. Am I correct in assuming staffing franchises aren't necessarily brick and mortar, like retail hours are?
Correct. Yeah.
So they could be awesome. Virtual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if you don't have to name any names if you don't want, but describe maybe a typical staffing franchise. What would that model look like? What how could that be an attractive business opportunity for somebody?
Yeah. My favorite one is they have all the jobs that need to get taken care of listed, and then they have the employers that are looking for employees. So they have a database already set up so you can get in day one and start making placements, which starting a business and being able to get in and create revenue day one with a staffing franchise, I mean, that just blows my mind that that's already all set up with a really low, I think it's 80 grand to get started. I mean,
wow.
You can make 25 grand a placement. It doesn't take long.
I just want to understand that. So if 80 grand, you're in this one of the staffing franchises, you're open, you're working, and 25 grand is that's like a placement. So if you place somebody, it's like a $25,000 commission.
Yeah. Wow. They started the executive search, which is what I would do if I were going to do that, which I'm not, but it's a great spot to be if that's something you love to do.
Yeah. So I imagine like any business, you probably got a couple people who turn out to be tire kickers, but it's got to be pretty rewarding helping people get into business. You probably like this gig pretty good, huh?
I love it.
Oh, that's great.
I love getting to know them, hear what they like, hear that they want to be their own boss and they want freedom. I mean, if I can help them achieve that, I mean, that just, I know what that feels like and I want them to have that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your expertise. So if people are like, actually never thought of franchising, what would be a good way to connect with you? Give a website or two or three, whatever you want, or email.
It's AspenFranchiseConsulting.com is the first one, ASPEN, AspenFranchiseConsulting.com. And then more specifically about me and staffing franchise is FranchiseMatch.biz, and the biz is B-I-Z.
FranchiseMatch.biz, B-I-Z. That's awesome. Kate, thank you so much for coming on Dream Business Radio live here today.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with franchise expert Kate Ross, and she really knows her stuff. I highly recommend you connect with her, learn more about what she does and the pretty cool, interesting world of the franchise space. Anyway, she will help you find the perfect franchise match. You can connect with me at GetJimPalmer.com. That's www.GetJimPalmer.com. Again, Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program is DreamBizCoaching.com, DreamBizCoaching.com. Remember, you can get digital copies of all of my books. Here's just one of them, all six of them at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or the iBookstore. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I am Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and you take good.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.